Hey everyone, welcome to Be the Change. My name is Lily Mott, and today I'm going to be talking about how change comes when you put yourself out there. My guest today is Liv Marshall, and she is a climate activist and campaign organizer at Teach the Future. I really enjoyed learning about the work Liv is doing. So without further ado, let's get started with this episode featuring Liv Marshall.
Hello, I'm Liv Marshall. I'm a 16-year-old climate activist. I'm a volunteer for Teach the Future, and I have been since October 2022, but I've been sort of getting involved in climate activism since about July of 2022, when I first got involved with Nottingham Youth Climate Assembly, which is sort of a youth collective trying to get climate policies into Nottingham, which is my local area. And yeah, it's been really cool, especially over this last year. Teach the Future's had some really good progress. I've been to Parliament multiple times, which is absolutely terrifying, but like really cool. And yeah.
That is a great way to get started. And I would love to know more about what inspired you to get started with this work. Can you tell me a little bit about that background for you?
It's a really silly story that I tell every single time. In year seven, I was about 11, for anyone who's not familiar with the UK school system, my science teacher, Mr. Baxter, absolute legend, he was bragging to us for about 5-10 minutes about how he recently switched his energy provider to a green sort of energy provider. And at the time I was a bit like, okay, cool, why are you telling me this? But at the same time, it was like first sort of instance for me to sort of see someone actually making a change and actually taking action, because like obviously throughout primary school when I was younger, I would learn about like the ice caps, and like you'd see photos of polar bears on ice caps and they don't really know where to go, and that was obviously really moving, but they didn't really tell me what to do. But that was sort of the first time I was like, oh, there's something I can do. And like Mr. Axel was absolutely very influential on me. He said at my year seven parents even never stopped learning, and that is one of the things that sort of brought me to this, because I'm always learning when I'm doing this, because I'm not particularly a STEM person. Any of my science teachers will tell you that. I'm not a woman in STEM. But that doesn't mean I can't learn about the climate crisis, and that doesn't mean that I can't educate myself about it.
Absolutely. And I think that is such an important message for people to hear, because everyone needs to be represented in the climate movement. And I am definitely not a woman in STEM either, so I can really relate to that a lot.
Like, I got my GCSE results and I was terrified, because in year 10, I got a 3 in physics, which is a D. And then I luckily somehow got a 5, which is a C, which I will take. But no, it's not my thing. And so everyone gets really confused. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a climate activist. And I'm like, oh, you take geography and like science. And you're like, no. I don't care about rocks.
I totally relate on that point. So tell me a little bit more about your work as an organizer. You mentioned going to Parliament, which is so cool. So tell me a little bit more about the work that you're doing to raise awareness about climate change.
Yeah, so I feel like Teach the Future is a really good place to start with that. So I've been involved since October of last year, like I said, and we have our climate education bill, which was the sort of first reason that I ended up going to Parliament, sort of a bit of like I want to say like a reception for MPs to come to. It was a lot of smiling and posing, because loads of MPs came in and wanted to take photos, and it was such like a strange experience, because you're just around like really cool people. I mean, Zara Sultana, MP for Coventry South, walked in, and me and my best friend were like fangirling. We've also, a few weeks ago, we met Bridget Phillipson, because over the summer, Teach the Future has been meeting with loads of MPs, mostly like shadow cabinet members, but I think we've also met with a few Liberal Democrats. I say that with so much certainty. But we were meeting Bridget Phillipson, who is the Shadow Education Secretary. And when we were stood in the foyer gossiping about our like I want to say lack of a love life, Matt Hancock walked past and overheard. So what I will say is it's certainly interesting. But yeah, there's also been so locally, with Nottingham Climate Assembly, I've spoken at a lot of events. So last year, the COP27 protests that happened in Nottingham, I got to speak at that, which was really cool. And like off the back of that, I've been able to write for the Left Lion, which is a local magazine, which I absolutely adore writing for. I love the whole sort of premise of it. And all of the magazines are free. So they're just at like independent businesses in Nottingham. And I think that's like a really incredible thing to do. And it also just makes that sort of thing really accessible.
That is so exciting, and it seems like you're doing activism in so many different ways through speaking and writing, organizing, and just even more. So what are your favorite parts about doing this work, and where do you see this work going in the future for you? I know that's a big question, but I would love to know your thoughts.
Obviously, like, I'm mostly talking about climate activism today, but I am also a member of the Labour Party, and so that's sort of linked in quite well. So I'm hoping to take all of this to Parliament and be an MP myself. Fingers crossed. But I suppose I just really enjoy meeting people and having discussions about it, because it, like, the climate crisis is such a widespread issue. Like, I think it's the one sort of like large-scale issue that everyone will be impacted by. It's not something that will just impact one minority group or one part of the world. Everyone will experience it at some point in their lives. And so hearing like different people's perspectives and opinions on it, and stories as well, is so important. And that is really what fuels me to keep going, because like there's so many people who don't feel like they can go and speak up in front of like hundreds of people, which is completely fair enough. It is not for everyone, but their voices, their stories still deserve to be heard.
I think that is so interesting, and especially with climate change, it really is an issue that has to involve everyone, as we were mentioning earlier. So we all really have to buy in, and everyone's voices have to be included. So as far as the future, can you tell me a little bit more about your political aspirations? Of course, we've discussed climate change, but can you also tell me about some of the other issues that you're passionate about that may be affecting your community, your country, and maybe even the world? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I am the women's officer for Nottinghamshire Young Labour, so obviously women's rights are really important to me. I've been working with Our Voice Matters, which is a grassroots campaign fighting against sexual harassment in political parties, and that's something that I'm really passionate about, because I think there are a lot of there's a lot of misconceptions that politics is all about men. And I know exactly how that feels, the amount of times I've walked into events and it's just loads of men with suits, and then I'm just there in my jeans and my like nice-ish shirt that I got from a charity shop, and I feel so out of place. And I think it's really important to show women that they can find their place and their voice in politics. But I have grown up very much working class, and that is something that I want to sort of not build on. Build on is the wrong sort of wording, but like I want to take that and take my experience and show that firstly it's not limiting. Like my upbringing is different to a lot of people who will go into politics, but that doesn't mean that it's stopping me. People from some like dodgy area of the UK can become an MP. They can go out and do really cool things, and that doesn't define me, that doesn't limit me. Yeah, I may not have had the best access to stuff, I might not have gone to private school, I might not have like have a private tutor that's going to get me directly into Oxbridge because she knows of someone, I don't know, but like that doesn't stop me from getting anywhere. And I don't want any working class child to grow up thinking I'm just going to have to be a bin man, I'm just going to have to be a shop assistant, I'm just going to be a waitress, and that's where it stops, because they shouldn't have to feel like that at all.
That is so important, and it's great that you're passionate about all of these different issues. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, over the years that you've been doing this work, have you heard any words of wisdom or picked up any advice that really inspired you and stuck with you, and that you try to keep in mind as you're doing this work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a massive Lewis Hamilton fan, which I feel like is really conflicting as a climate activist and an F1 fan, but I'm just trying to separate that. But there's a Lewis Hamilton quote which says, it's not about how you fall, it's about how you get up. It's always about how you get up. And that is so important to me, because I think there are so many times over like the last year and a half, where it's like I felt so overwhelmed by it, like by what I do, because it's such, I don't know how to explain it, but like obviously it is incredible to go out and get to meet loads of people, but it's also incredibly overwhelming and incredibly draining. And especially whilst I was at secondary school, I got mocked a lot for it. I was often called tree hugger. I don't hug trees, but go on. And I've also just had like a lot of negative experiences. But that just sort of reminds me that, yeah, there are going to be negative parts of this. There are going to be parts where I feel absolutely rotten, but I can always get up from that and I can always bounce back from that. And that is what's important. It doesn't matter if I spend a week or two not being able to reply to emails. If I still end up replying to them in the end, that's what matters. It doesn't matter that I failed once. It matters that I succeeded twice.
I think that is great advice, and I also love Lewis Hamilton, so I agree with you there too. I have one more question for you, and it's asking for a little bit more advice. Lots of young people want to create change, but they may not know how to get started with that work. What advice do you have for those people who may be listening?
I think research like national campaigns, because I think obviously like local work is really important, and I would not be where I am today without the people in my city that have gone like helped me get to where I am. But I think trying to like research campaigns and something that you're interested in, because obviously I can bang on about Teach the Future for days, but not everybody is that focused on climate education. So researching, and it doesn't have to be like you're searching the web. Go on Instagram, Twitter. There are loads of campaigns out there that will happily have your help. And also just like going to different events, because I mean, in Nottingham, we have the Green Hustle Festival, which is sort of a festival that's not like a protest. It's not a protest. There are like stalls of like independent businesses, but it's climate activism. So like there will be like green organizations in between like pretty jewelry that I spend far too much money on. So like go out there, get involved in like events, even if you feel completely out of place and you're absolutely terrified and you know nobody, speaking to one person, that is a step forward. Like showing up at an event, that is a step forward. Following a campaign is a step forward. Signing up, emailing them, that is a step forward. And you don't have to sort of expect yourself to go from, I don't know, going to one meeting to speaking in front of thousands of people within a week. You can't, like, that's not, it's not that it's impossible, but it's impractical. As long as you're making small steps, as long as you believe in yourself that you can do it, then that is all you need.
I really enjoyed learning about Liv's work in Nottingham and across the UK, and think her advice about putting yourself out there and trying new things is great to keep in mind. Going to an event, sending an email, signing up for an organization, all of those things may feel uncomfortable, but those feelings of discomfort mean that you're putting yourself out there and getting closer to making change. So, as Liv said, do the thing that might make you feel nervous. Take that risk, because change comes when you put yourself out there. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and you can find Liv on Instagram at livmarshalluk to get connected with her. If you want to talk about anything I mentioned, please reach out to me by email at lily@bethechangepodcast.org or on Instagram at bethechangemedianetwork. I am working on expanding Be the Change Media Network, which means bringing you more inspiring stories from amazing guests. If you enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate it if you could leave the podcast a rating and a comment, because it will help these stories to reach, educate, and inspire more people. I would also love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Tune in for my next episode, but until then, be the change you wish to see in the world. Bye, guys.